I'll add my welcome to that of Mike and Lorraine earlier. My name is Andrew. I'm the lead pastor of Christchurch. It's great if you are with us this morning. We're going to hear from God's word as Lorraine comes to read from Luke's gospel. If you've got a Bible, do open it, chapter 2. If you follow on the phone, on the Bible app, you can just, when you open the app, you can just click whatever the initial is for your name. So go to your account, click the three buttons at the top, and you can go to events, and you'll have the whole outline as well. So let's hear from Luke's Gospel, chapter 2.
And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger.
Thank you. It's great. We're going to think this morning, as we in our Down to Earth series, about the unlikely invitation made that first Christmas. But before we do, I was thinking about Queen Elizabeth II and the Cannings. And what was, once upon a time, a really cheeky and unlikely invitation. Because this British couple, John and Frances Canning, back in 2012, remember the Olympics and all that, they sent a wedding invitation to Buckingham Palace as a joke. They knew that the Queen would be in Manchester for her Diamond Jubilee tour on their wedding day, They were getting married in Manchester Town Hall. So, cheeky invitation. They sent an invitation to the palace. Now, to their great surprise, they received a personal reply on behalf of the late Queen, sending her best wishes for the bride and groom on their special day and apologising that Her Majesty would be unable to attend. Oh. So, they got married. On the 23rd of March 2012, the ceremony itself took place, and lo and behold, they were totally astonished when the late Queen and her husband, Prince Philip, appeared at their wedding reception in the town hall, posing for photographs and greeting the couple by name. How special is that? They didn't stay for canapes. But John said on local television the following day, because he's got to be on television every after that, "We're just two very ordinary working class people. At the end of the day, for a few short moments, we felt very, very special." And I'm like, yeah, I bet. What an unlikely invitation they made, and what an amazing response. That's great, isn't it? As I say, we're thinking about the unlikely invitations as part of our Sunday morning Advent series, thinking about the first Christmas and how God came down to earth, our down-to-earth God, come in the form of a baby. Of the written accounts that we have in the Gospels, one of the hallmarks surrounding the birth of Jesus is the number of unlikely invitations that are made by God through angelic messengers or other means. God meeting people then and inviting them into his unfolding story in the world. So there's the unlikely invitation to a teenage girl to be the mother of the Savior of the world, all right? She's young, she's engaged to be married to a builder who's a bit older than her, and yet she gets this one amazing out-of-this-world invitation that she'd never even, in her wildest imagination, even conceived of or ever thought about something like that. So that her first response is recorded, how can this be? How can this be? And then we have the unlikely invitation to a group of magi. They're wise men, they're from another country, miles away, and they're invited to come and worship the newborn king. So that's their quest. They seek him. They find him, despite the worst intentions of a local king called Herod, who you may have heard about if you've been to the odd nativity play and so on. Perhaps the most unlikeliest of all invitations was made to a group of shepherds looking after sheep on a hillside near to a tiny place called Bethlehem. They were visited by a host of angels, and they are invited to go and see the Savior who's been born, who's lying in a feeding trough wrapped in cloths. Now, each one of those unlikely invitations brought life change for those involved. It sounds obvious now, but Mary's life purpose is forever changed. The Magi's quest, their authentic worship, their profound encounter means that they depart having played a special part in the history of humankind, and I reckon would never be the same again. And the shepherd's view of themselves, and indeed their whole priorities, are transformed. And what we're going to do for a few moments, you can tell this is coming because of the passage Lorraine read to us, we're going to focus on that invitation to the shepherds and think about how it speaks to us in our world today. God invites unlikely people into his work and his story in this world. When you hear the word shepherd, what image comes to your mind? You know, what comes to your mind? Maybe at this time of year, you're thinking of primary school nativity plays and you think about the tea towel and the bit of rope, yeah? Or maybe you're straight away into a pastoral scene and somebody with a crook and just giving commands to a dog as they round up the sheep. Or maybe you're more down on the farm type programs on telly and you've got an image of a shepherd on a quad bike just checking that the sheep on some remote hillside have got food. What's your picture now? Well, let's think about shepherds then in Judea at the time of Jesus' birth. We've often said they had a very low social standing. And when you think about that, that's really not what you'd expect if you look at the whole of the history of God's people, the Israelites. Because if you think about it, many of the big cheeses within that history were shepherds. Abraham, you can mention him. Jacob. Moses. The great King David, that's how he started. You know, how come they've got such a low standing now? Well, it probably has something to do with the fact that after the Israelites reached the promised land and settled, shepherding, which had such a prominent position within their community, was gradually balanced out because they acquired farmland. And so grazing animals, the amount of that decreased, and growing crops increased. Hence a lot of Jesus' parables about seeds. And so on. To the point where shepherding, by the time Jesus is born, it's become more of a menial job for the lower classes. Bear with me while we just think about this, because I want you to get just how unlikely the invitation is that's made to them. German theologian Joachim Jeremias, he notes shepherds were despised in everyday life. In general, they were considered second class and untrustworthy. He wrote this, to buy wool, milk, or a goat from a shepherd was forbidden on the assumption that it would be stolen property. That's how they were regarded. Shepherds were deprived of all civil rights. They couldn't even be admitted in court as a witness. Shepherding had plummeted and become a job that was no longer socially acceptable. That's why I say they're most unlikely candidates for an angelic host and an invitation to join a unique world-chasing mission in announcing the birth of the Messiah. In fact, approximately 200 years after Jesus was born, those within Judaism wanted to capture the oral spoken teachings of the rabbis over those centuries, trying to explain to the people how they live out the law of God. And so they wrote it down in something called the Mishnah. One of the passages in the Mishnah describes shepherds as incompetent. Another one says this: no one should ever feel obligated to rescue a shepherd who has fallen into a pit. Yeah, let's give it up for shepherds. Oh. Jesus had lived in a culture where shepherds were referred to in belittling terms. He's going to reclaim the position of shepherds. I am the good shepherd. He's going to reclaim that in his ministry. Trouble is, shepherds, they were never clean. It's impossible with the job that they did and the task that they had to do. And because of their unclean condition, shepherds weren't allowed to go to the temple. You see, for a Jew at the time, the temple was where God is. Simple as that. It's his dwelling place on earth at that time. And if you couldn't go there, you couldn't meet with God. So talk about an unlikely situation here, an unlikely invitation of all the people that God would choose to invite to witness and to share the birth of his son. You probably put shepherds on the reserve list. Well, maybe, if at all. That's what we're talking about. And as I say, God invites unlikely people. He invited them into this. That's what we just heard. And do you know what? He still does today. And that includes you, and that includes me. Let's not miss the obvious here. Some of us find ourselves in a place at different times in our lives where we feel like we're not worthy. We're not worthy of God revealing his glory, of God speaking good things to us, of God pointing us to the life that's found in his son and stepping into that. We're just not worthy of that. Yes, God will meet with these people because they really need it, but not me. It's like there are times where some of us write this sign, unworthy, unlikely candidate. You know, it's like a big sign over us. Not worthy of God's love and light. Maybe it's a shame. Maybe it's a few choices. Maybe it's just the stuff of life or the fear or that sense that you've drifted from God. Just a little, but over a long time, and you're now far from him and not worthy of anything. Well, that word to the shepherd should speak to us today, because to them, God appears. And that angelic message, don't be afraid, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. See, it's like you may feel the least likely, but God's message and God's gift is for all the people. And he included the least likely then, the shepherds. So that means you and I can't count ourselves out today, because it's for all the people. And that includes most of us, doesn't it? Yeah? All the people. So don't count yourself out, because God's love is such. It's of such quality and such purity. God's love is such that he doesn't count you out, but he invites you into his unfolding story in this world. And you're not out of reach. You're not unworthy as you might wish or find yourself making out, because God's love is bigger. That's what the word of God says. His light gloriously reveals all the needs to be dealt with in our lives in such a way that it's his light consumes that, because Jesus, that baby-born Messiah, then through his life, death, resurrection, has done everything to make it possible for you to say yes to God's invitation. I believe you are the one. I believe you really are inviting me. And I'm not that worthy, but I believe your love is true. And I say yes, and I say thank you for this new life. Will you give me a fresh start? You could pray that right now. If that's you, take hold of it. Take hold of this life that God has for you. It's the best Christmas present you could ever receive. I remember somebody catching hold of me. Oh, no, I might talk about that later on this evening. You have to come back for that, to the carols by candlelight. But don't waste an opportunity. Take hold of it now. You've been looking in. Don't go from here this morning without saying to someone you trust or our prayer ministry team, would you pray for me? And in saying God invites unlikely people, and that includes you and me, there's also a challenge in that, because as we follow the way of Jesus, God wants to make his invitation to others through us. Now, we live and move within this current culture, and the culture wars we've had around a decade, and things like cancel culture are part of that, very dominant, and it can impact how we view others, particularly if you get caught up in social media trails and so on. If we're not careful, we lose sense of God's sense of how important each human being made in his image really is. Or at worst, we can be like others and just write people off. And yet God's invitation is for all. And the world needs to hear that, don't we, today? It's something that Jesus himself lived out in such a down-to-earth fashion. As he traveled, he went to ordinary places. He'd often pause to interact with those who were considered sinners. And he'd offer them an unlikely invitation into life and to leave a life that was far from God, leave a life of sin and so on, to the excluded leper, to the shamed prostitute, to the hated tax collector, as well as the lowliest shepherd. The invitation to life. And today, through us, you and me, think about this. This is God's plan. You and I, who know and seek to follow in the way, are part of God's plan A, which is remarkable. And it's through us that he wants to make an invitation to those who live next door, or those that we see across the street, those that we sing in a choir at a concert with, those that we meet when we're walking the dog. He wants to invite everyone, the least deserving, the least attractive, the least expected, through us, extend an invitation to find life. It could start today, with even the simplest of invitation, even to a carol service or a songs of praise special, lovely cake, coffee, that's part of the invitation. But it's to something to life. Don't miss the one for tonight. Have I plugged that yet? You don't want to miss it. It's a brilliant, it's one of the easiest invitationals that you can make during the course of the year. Carols, readings, a short message, beautiful lights, wonderful people, and a drink afterwards. You know, invite people. Sorry, I've got distracted. Or you might invite somebody to do the Christmas trail with you from the 20th onwards, and just like doing it with somebody and talking about it as you go. It's really powerful, just like it is with the lights here. You know, the team hosting the lights the other day, I was talking to a couple of them, and they were just like, what a fantastic time we had. I was like, oh, how many came? Well, they had one person who actually came specifically to do the lights and have a hot chocolate and a coffee. But actually, they had a brilliant time talking together, praying together, but giving out cookies to people who were passing and people talking about it. And they had the postcards with the details and different people saying, oh, yeah, we'll have to come back. Or other people saying how great the lights are. I have a sneaking suspicion there are a couple of dog walkers who go past this church at the same time every night just for a cookie and a hot chocolate and so on. Brilliant. You know, and maybe it's through people like you and me that God is calling and inviting people, the most unlikely people. So, thinking, reflecting on the shepherds, God invites unlikely people, and that includes you and that includes me. And that includes those that he sends us to. There's another unlikely aspect of that appearance to the shepherds. Are you still with me? Three of us. Great, that's good. Let's do this, shall we? We've got a bit of time. There's another unlikely aspect of this appearance to the shepherds that kind of hit me. Because God's messenger comes with this amazing message in the middle of their daily routine. God meets us in the middle of our daily tasks. When God breaks into the shepherds' lives, you know, he's not waiting when they have a quiet moment to themselves to do it. He turns right up in the middle of them doing their job. Can you imagine God just turning up at any point in life? You know, God breaking into your daily context while you're at work this coming week, when you're at home, when you're at school. You know, sometimes subconsciously we count out that prospect of God's presence with us. We know theoretically he is, but it's really unlikely that God would show up there. You know, when you're walking down the street to the post office to deliver a few more cards, if you've written any yet, or while you deliver that presentation at work, or while you deliver that baby in a maternity ward, or while you talk to a colleague or a customer, however ordinary or unlikely each of those situations feel, God breaks in, because that's what he does. That's what he did then. And he does that, and he reminds us that we're part of his story and his unfolding story for the whole world. There were shepherds, verse 8, living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks by night. They had their minds on the work. Yes, they might have gone off to think about the first century equivalent of the football results or whatever, but they were also thinking, how do we keep the wolves away? How do we make sure are the sheep fed? Are they calm right now? And are they in a safe place and out of trouble? And yet in the middle of those daily tasks, this messenger from God arrives. Incredible glory shines around a touch of heaven there and then on those hillsides. A humongous host of angels who end up then declaring and saying great praise to God. And look at them after that breakthrough into their daily routine. Meeting with the angels and so on. You know, fast forward, they find a baby. Just as the angel said, Luke records. And now they're thinking, oh, who can we tell about this? How can we best praise God? They've changed, their priorities have changed, and they're going to do something. And verse 9, what does it say? An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Don't miss the significance of this, because up to this point in the history of God's people, there's a usual place for God's glory, and it's not a hillside just outside Bethlehem. It's a temple, a building. A building that when Solomon put it up, 2 Chronicles 7 talks about the glory of God descending and filling it, like this glorious cloud filling the temple. And day to day, on beyond that, in the innermost place, the holiest of holy, that is where the glory of God resides. But now, because God is breaking in on this Bethlehem hillside, in everyday life, we see God's not restricted himself to a building. He chooses to share with the least likely in these fields, and glory and light and grace and love and everything just floods in. One day this Jesus born a baby, laid in a manger, that the shepherds visit. One day, he will complete his work. He'll say on a cross that he never deserved to be hanging on. He'll say, it's done. And away to God, a temple curtain is just torn in two from top to bottom. This down-to-earth God making a down-to-earth way, and meaning that anyone, anywhere, at any time, who knows and follows Jesus can enter into God's presence with confidence to receive grace, mercy, and help in our time of need, to taste glory, a touch of heaven in our daily lives. God started in the Bethlehem fields with those who were refused entry to the temple point blank. And the glory shone around. His glory can break in and shine wherever. Because if God is effectively saying to them there, well, the wider world says, you're not worthy to come to me, does it? Is that what it's saying? Well, I come to you. It's a new thing in this world. And that's how God is at work, coming to people now. And that includes you and me. Those the world labeled unclean, incompetent, not worthy of lifting out of a pit then, they're invited to worship in a temple that's transformed. They'll taste glory on a hillside. They'll encounter glory in an animal shelter, a space they're really familiar with in their working world. And those moments are filled with his presence, his light, and bring change. You know, expect the unexpected this week from God. Expect it. Because he's a God who breaks in. And maybe you could cultivate that sense of God with you in your daily routines. Perhaps when you're just switching on a tap. It's a moment where you just like, God, you're here with me now, and you allow his presence and the light that come with that. Perhaps you move from one room to another in part of your daily tasks, or it's a regular walk that you take. And it's a moment to recognize that God has been with you before that, and he's gone before you, and right now he's beside you, and he's the rock beneath you, and undeserving as yet as you are, he's there right with you there. Invite him in, that you might be effective in reaching out to others through him. Invite him and his glory in, that you might be able to share that with others. You know, I'm a pastor of a church, so often, you know, I must be forgiven for thinking invitation. It includes different Christmas opportunities. Have I mentioned those yet? No. But it's also about God breaking into our daily lives. You know, if we think invitation, God is with us and breaks in such a way that those we work alongside, those we've been praying for, who live just around the corner from us, those we meet on the school playground, you know, we can extend the invitation into Christian community, into life, into an exploration journey for Jesus. It happens in homes, shops, offices, at the gym. You know, those people who look really good and untouchable at the gym, they need Christ. Universities, all those students, it's great seeing some of our students back with us. We love having the students back. It's great. Farms, maternity wards, you name it. For those shepherds then, their priorities were changed, their outlooks absolutely transformed. And the whole purpose of their life is going to be different from here, because they're tellers. They went out and told everyone about this unlikely invitation they'd received and accepted, and what they'd seen and what God is doing. A rescuer, the Messiah. And there's joy. And the unlikely invitation, it's not just to an unlikely group of people then. It's an invitation to meet, know, worship God today in our world. However unlikely a person you feel, however unlikely a place it is, in the most ordinary, everyday, down-to-earth spaces, it becomes the new temple where God is present, our down-to-earth God in down-to-earth places, like an animal shelter. As the story, unfolding story, historical account records, people who are not normally included are invited in. Mary, Joseph, Magi, even the shepherds, invited and included. How much more does God want to do that today? For you, you're invited. What's your response? These gospel accounts of what happened then, as you flow through them, whether it's in a carol service with readings or nativity plays, you know, they speak of ordinary people. Each year we hear that, you know, ordinary people in different spaces and at different stages of life being invited in. Great joy, news of great joy, which is for all the people. People being invited to God's unfolding story, being invited into a Jesus-centered life as part of a Jesus-centered community. So, what's your response today? There's encouragement and challenge and an invitation within the shepherd's story. I want you to hear the biggest encouragement to you from God, which is, you're invited. Don't count yourself out. Because God would say, if he was standing here right now, I haven't counted you out. I counted you in when I sent my son into the world. So maybe your response is today, I don't fully understand it. I really don't think I fully I deserve it. But I say, yes, please, I thank you for everything you've done. Will you come into my life today? And if that's your response, or you're saying, come in, just keep talking to God as we continue in the rest of this service. And make sure afterwards you talk to a trusted friend. We come to our prayer ministry team, who'll be here at the front, and just say, I prayed that prayer for the first time, or I found myself praying that prayer again because I want to be back with God. They'd love to pray with you. Maybe your response is around the encouragement that God can step right into our workplaces, our everyday daily routines, and that you're going to take up this challenge to accept that we carry this invitation with priority and with urgency to speak and act in a way that invites others to worship our down-to-earth God and encounter for themselves. That the glory that is part of his love, his light, his life, his grace, his truth, just will break in to their lives. So don't count yourself out of that invitation either. We got some great invitation, null people in this church, but actually, they're the ones who are particularly gifted. God wants to unleash a spirit of invitation and welcome, because that's what he does and has done in history, and he wants to do it through his people today. So, should we pray? And then we'll make a song, our response. And with our prayer, let's pray that God would fill us and empower us as well. So let's pray, shall we? To the person listening, whether you're at home or whether you're here in this room right now, you've lost that sense of who you are and who you are in God, but you're hearing this and you don't know whether you can let go of other things and just take a step back towards God. Hear God's heart for you. And know that he's waiting for you just to say yes. draw near to him and he'll draw near to you, because that's our God and that's what he's promised. Father, will you fill us with yourself? Will you give us the strength, the power, the courage to know fully that invitation into life and to be those who invite even the most unlikely people into? Will you do it in the spaces and places that will fill our waking hours this coming week? And may time and time again, your glory break in every part as we seek to take hold of the life that you're offering to us. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.